Brother Tim. It certainly is a pleasure to be here tonight. I always love to go to church. I love to be in the house of the Lord. I'm very thankful to be with you good people here at Victory again. Thank God for the invitation to come and help in the revival this summer. I feel very humbled by being invited, and I do desire a great interest in your prayers. I want to echo what Brother Tim has said welcoming all of you, welcoming the visitors tonight. I'm thankful to have some of my friends from Fairview Memorial here tonight, Ralph and LaVon Davidson, and Edwin and Elise Phelps and Treva Thompson, and we're just thankful to have all of you brothers and sisters here tonight. And Brother Ralph, of course, is one of our preachers there at church, and have a great deal of love and respect for him and for all of them, and I'm thankful that they chose to come here tonight. My prayer as we approach this meeting is that we will have, however long that we meet here, however many nights that it turns out to be, I pray that we will have a meeting that will please the Lord. And that's what really counts. Sometimes I think that we forget, and we need to be reminded, that this is not about us. It's not about you and I. It's about the Lord and His work, and people being saved, and the church being revived, that we might be better equipped and more zealous to do the work of the Lord. And so I pray that throughout this week that the people of God will be revived, that we might get closer to the Lord, and that people will come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I believe that Victory is a good church. But you know, there's something that I believe about any of our churches. I think there's something that's true for all of our Missionary Baptist churches, and that is that we could all certainly get closer to the Lord. Amen. We could all step up a little bit higher and get a little bit closer to God. And I heard it said one time that unless you've been translated, you can still get closer. When Enoch walked with God and got so close to Him that God translated him and just took him out, well, that hasn't happened to us yet, has it? So we can still get closer to the Lord. And I do ask a great interest in your prayers. I have some scripture tonight that God has given to me to share with you. The Lord placed the thought upon my heart to bring before you tonight, and I'm thankful that He did. I'd sure hate to stand up here if He hadn't done that. Amen. So I want to read some scripture. If you want to read with me, I'm going to ask you to please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I want to begin reading there with verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. And I want to stop reading there, having read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 16, for scripture reading tonight. And I want to say, as Brother Tim has said, that I really appreciate what the young people did with the song, with signing the song there. And what Brother Tim had to read before you tonight from the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I believe both of those, the song and his devotional reading, really helped, I believe, to already prepare a foundation for what the Lord has placed on my heart tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about God. And there's nobody I'd rather try to talk about. I'd much rather talk about the Lord than to talk about you or to talk about me. There's a lot greater things to be said about Him than there is to be said about us. Amen. And I have a title that I would like to use tonight, and that being the most amazing thing about God. Now, that's what I want to try to speak about tonight before you, what I consider to be the most amazing thing about the Lord. Now, there may be something in your mind, in your heart, that you might consider to be the most amazing thing about God, that you may have a little bit different view of it than what I would, but I want to talk to you tonight, to me, about what is the most amazing thing about the Lord. And, you know, in these verses here, amen. God bless you, Sister LaVon. In these verses that I have read before you, it seems that David really put forth an exhausted effort to define the greatness of God. I want to read them again, and you pay close attention to what he said here as he was blessing the Lord. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You know, there's just nobody like God. And there's no one that you can compare to God. There have been people, and we read about them many times throughout the scriptures. There have been those that have been foolish enough to make something with their own hands and worship that thing. But I'll tell you what, there has never been a God that man has created that has even come close to being like the true and the living God. Amen. And really, if you think about it, how foolish that it is for people to worship something that they have made. Today, I worship the God that made me. I serve the God that created me, not the other way around. And God does not need me the way that I need him. That's one of the great mysteries of God. God is a self-existing being. In fact, he is the only one that is. God exists because he exists, and there is no other reason than that. God is self-existent. And in the 90th Psalm in verse 2, that was spoken about, it said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Now, you know, in my little weak mind, in my human mind, I cannot comprehend. I just don't have the mental ability to comprehend something or someone that does not have a beginning. Everything that you and I associate with in this life has a beginning and it has an end. But I'll tell you what, I do believe in a God that has existed and will exist from eternity to eternity. God has always been, God is now, and God is always going to be. And God is not only self-existent, but God is also self-sufficient. If you look in the 50th Psalm, there again, the psalmist tells us about the self-sufficiency of God. He said that every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. He even said that I know all of the fowls, and God does. You know, I thought about that when I read it, and this may seem like a silly little analogy, but The other day, I left my garage door up, and a little finch flew in there, and he was flying around in my garage, and he was singing. And you could go out there and look at that, and you could say, oh, a bird got in there, and I need to chase him out and not think about anything else. But God knew that little bird. God gave that little bird the song that he was singing. God said, I know all the fowls of the air. And he went on in that psalm and he said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why? If God were hungry the way that we get hungry, if God did have to have that sustenance the way that you and I would, that we have to have it, God wouldn't have to come and tell us, would he? He wouldn't have to come and ask us to provide for him because he owns every beast of the field. He owns the fowl of the air. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. No matter who here on the earth has a piece of paper that says they're theirs, God owns them. Amen. He owns them all. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God is the owner. Amen. David spoke about that in this 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And he said, the things that we are using here and the things that we are doing, we're giving back to you what is yours. And that's what we do when we give to the Lord. I preached this some of this same message at my church, I believe, just last week. That's what we do when we give to the Lord. We are just giving back to God what is rightfully His, because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And whatever we give to God, we are giving back to Him what is rightfully His. God blessed us with it in the first place. If you turn your life over to God and you give Him your life in His service, if you do what the Apostle Paul begged the Romans to do there, if you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, it is nothing more than our reasonable service. And if you give your life over to the Lord, you're only giving back to God what He gave to you in the first place. Our reasonable service. God is the one that has gone way above and beyond the call of duty, hadn't He? Not us. Not us. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the Lord. If you look in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, God describes Himself through the prophet Isaiah like this, that it is He, that being God, that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers before Him. Amen. If we could get somewhat of a comparison from that of how we compare to God, we see God high and lofty, sitting on the circle of the earth and looking down at us, and we appear before Him in His sight as nothing more than mere grasshoppers. Now, I know that in your life that no doubt most all of you have walked along somewhere in the grass, and you've seen the little grasshoppers hopping out of the grass there, and you're looking down at them, and you're a whole lot bigger than what they are. You're looking down at something that's very small and minute compared to what you as a human being is. And God said that's the way when He looks at us, when He sees the inhabitants of the earth, that's the way that we appear before Him, as little grasshoppers. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah the prophet also tells us of that fact. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than, or my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God has a thought process that is way above what ours is as human beings. Sometimes I'm afraid that we're guilty of trying to lessen God and who He really is. But you know what? God, whenever He has undertaken to do something, God has never one time has He ever come to me and asked counsel of me. Has He you? When God was creating the world and all the things in it and all the beauty that's around us, when God was making all these things, where were the humans? You read the 38th chapter of Job, and God asked Job that very thing. He said, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? I want you, Job, to declare unto me how the corners of it are fastened. If you've got the understanding, I want you to declare it unto me. And of course, Job was not able to do that, and we're not able to do that, and we're not able to understand how that God did the things that He did, because God's ways are past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Has God ever come to you and said, you know what, there's something I'm really wanting to do here, but I just can't figure out how to get it done, and I need your help, and I need your instruction? Well, I know that that's never happened to me. I know that that's never happened to you, and it's never going to either. God can do what he does. God was able to create this world and everything in it without our help. He was able to do it without our instruction, without our counsel, without our advice, or our instruction. God was able to do his work. Now, he's also self-dependent. God's not dependent on you and I. He's not dependent upon you and I. The Apostle Paul, in his great notable sermon there at Mars Hill, when he was preaching to the men of Athens, you know what he said about God? Well, he saw all of their altars there. He saw all of the different things that these people were worshiping. And he saw an altar there with the inscription "to the unknown God." And Paul preached to those people, and he said, he's the one that I declare unto you, God that made the heaven and the earth and all things in it. And he went on in that sermon, and he said, God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, but seeing that he giveth life and breath to all. You see, we didn't give God life. I've already said that God exists from eternity to eternity, and he was there long before we ever came along. We didn't give God life, but he gave it to us. God exists rather well without you and I, but we don't exist without God. We don't live without God. We don't exist without God, because Paul said it is in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. Now, the human race today, they have deceived themselves, and the human race today, so many of the human race today, they believe that we are existing and that we are doing things by our own power, but we're not. Amen. We exist in the Lord.
Amen.
And when God is ready, when God is ready, he's going to come. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Do you know that? He's coming back. When he is ready, he's coming back. He's going to call the redeemed. He's going to call his children a home to be with him forever and forever. And all of those that are lost and without him in that hour, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And God's going to rain fire and brimstone down upon this world that he created. And he's going to destroy it, and man will occupy it no more. No more. God will bring it to an end when he gets ready to do so. Now, I want us to think for just a moment about the things that we've tried to establish in this message so far. And that is that God is the great creator. God is great. He's great. And the psalmist said, God is great and greatly to be praised. And I want to tell you something tonight as the people of God. Friends, if we don't praise the Lord, we are failing him miserably. Because God is great and greatly to be praised, and God is worthy of every ounce of praise that we could possibly give to him in our lives. God is worthy of exaltation. God is worthy of glory. God is worthy of honor. God is worthy of praise. And we as God's people, we ought to lift up our voices and we ought to praise the Lord and we ought to let people know how we feel about our God. We ought to be vocal about it. We ought to, as the redeemed, we need to say so and we need to praise the Lord like David said. When he said in the 40th Psalm that God had brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed his feet upon a rock, established his goings, put a new song in his mouth, even praise to God. And we need to praise the Lord. We need to exalt the Lord. Too many people in the world today want to exalt the creature more than the Creator. We need to exalt the Creator. We need to let God be who He is and us who we are. God's great, isn't He? Nobody like the Lord. I can't wait to go be with Him. How about you? That's going to be an awesome day, isn't it? Brother Collins, won't that be something to go and be with the Lord? Won't that be something to go and be in His presence in that that city that He's made for His people? Friend, is beyond what anything that you and I have ever imagined. I'm glad that I know I'm going to be there one day. I'm glad to know that one day, because of what God did for me, that I'm going to walk the streets of gold. I'm going to be there in the presence of God. I'm going to be there where God is sitting on His throne. John in the Revelation tells us that he saw a vision of that. And he said, I saw a throne and there was one that sat upon it. I'll tell you what, there's only one that's ever occupied that throne. And He's the only one that ever will. And God has never been dethroned. And He never will be. He's great. And He is greatly to be praised. Now, I want to get to what I spoke before you in the title of the message. This great God. You know, God, He could be happy without us, couldn't He? God could be happy. God could be satisfied. We've already established the fact that He wouldn't be hungry without if He didn't have us. God wouldn't, God wouldn't be sitting in heaven with His needs unmet if He didn't have us. God's got everything He needs. But He's also got things that He has chosen, doesn't He? We are a chosen people. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. And thank God that this great Almighty God that can easily exist without you and I, thank God that He loves us. And to me, that's the most amazing thing about Him, is that God looks down upon us as sinners. I'll tell you what amazes me about God is that here is God. He's on the throne in heaven. He's sitting on the circle of the earth looking down at the little grasshoppers. And here we are on the earth and we're just sinners. And we don't deserve any of God's goodness. We don't deserve any of His blessings. We have never done anything, not one thing in our life have we ever done to merit the blessings of God. We don't deserve to be saved. Those of us that have been saved, we have been saved by grace, wholly by grace. We have been saved based upon God's unmerited, undeserved favor. We didn't do anything at all to earn it or to deserve it. God saved us by His grace. And here we are, here on this earth, sinners. Man was guilty of just taking the goodness of God and throwing it right back in His face. God didn't really, honestly, when God created man, He didn't ask anything of him that was unreasonable, not anything at all. He created man. He provided for man. He planted a beautiful garden for there eastward in Eden. He took the man there that he had made, and he placed him in the garden where he had everything that he needed to sustain him. He had everything, he had food to eat. He had water to drink. God provided for him everything that he needed, and all that he asked of him was that he would not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all that God asked him to obey, and man wouldn't do it, would he?
Amen.
He wouldn't do it. God even told him, there's other trees here that you're free to eat of them, but there's just this one tree. You're not to eat of it. In the day that you do, you will die. Well, man just, he took everything that God had done. He took the goodness of God and he threw it in God's face when he disobeyed him and he brought sin into the world. But you know what? You know what's amazing? God still loved him, didn't he? He still loved him. No matter what man did, he still loved him. Lost friend, I want you to know something. God, the God of heaven, he loves you tonight. I want to tell you how much he loves you. This is amazing to me that this great God of glory loved us this much. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God looked down upon men, and I'll tell you what he saw. The Bible declared that he looked down upon the children of men, and he didn't see any that were good. Not even one. Not even one. Out of all the creation, God looked down upon the children of men, and he did not see one. Isaiah the prophet, again in Isaiah 55, declared, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We were all guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. We're all guilty before God. All of us. But God still loved us. He still loved us. Despite all of that, he still loved us. He made a plan. He made a way for man to be saved. He made it. He made the plan before he made the man. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know what? Of all of the things, and there are many, many, many scriptures. We could go through the Bible and we could be here real late tonight talking about the things that the scriptures teach us about the greatness of God. But you know what? With everything that has been said, with everything that the men of God under inspiration wrote about the greatness of God in the scriptures, it fails us to yet know what he's really, really like. I mean, we don't have enough, there's not enough words to describe to us how great God really is. I'm convinced that when we behold him, I'm convinced that when we see him in heaven, that we're going to realize that the half had never been told to us. that we're going to realize that while we were on earth that we never really knew how great that God is. But I'll tell you something tonight, friend. I'm thankful for this above everything else in my existence, above everything else in my life. I'm thankful that I have experienced the great love of God in my heart. The Bible teaches me that when we get saved, that God He doesn't give us just a little bitty taste of His love. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm glad that I have come to know the love of God. I know I don't know everything about Him, not nearly. I know there's a lot about God that I don't understand. I know one thing. I'm never going to be equal to Him. We aren't even close to being equal to God. While we walk here on the earth in these sinful bodies, we are nowhere close in comparison to God. I'll tell you something else that I believe. When the time comes when we can lay down these sinful bodies, and on that great day of the resurrection, when God gives us a new body, and we take up that new body, that body that's without sin, and we dwell before God in His presence in heaven in a brand new body where we're not guilty of sin in any way, even in that state, man in his best state, we still won't compare to God. Amen. We will never be equal with God. Amen. God will always be God. Amen. He is exalted above all. Amen. When Jesus was here on the earth, the Bible tells us that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And you remember reading about when He was coming into Jerusalem there that His disciples began to praise Him. They began to praise Him. And they wanted, the Pharisees there wanted Jesus to rebuke them and tell them to be quiet. And He said, well, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, if a rock will cry out and praise you, I'll call you Lord. If the rocks will cry out and give praise to you because the Lord is the only one that the rocks are going to cry out and praise. Imagine that. You know what? God will get His praise, won't He?
Amen.
He'll get it one way or another, but He wants it from us.
Amen.
He wants it from us. And certainly we are the ones that ought to praise God. God didn't give eternal life to the rocks, did He? He did to us. God's great. The Lord, the one that's head above all, the one that's exalted about all, it just amazes me that He came to me one time, knocking on my heart, wanting to have a relationship with me, a sinner, somebody that didn't deserve anything from God, somebody that did not deserve one blessing from God, but God came to me desiring to know me and that I might know Him. And the Bible tells me that He will have all men to be saved.
Amen.
And to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
God wants to spiritually adopt you, and He wants to make you one of His own.
Amen.
The greatest opportunity, lost friend, listen, make no mistake, The greatest opportunity, boy, people, I'll tell you, people are seeking opportunity just left and right. People are out there in the world and they are just breaking their backs. They are driving themselves crazy seeking opportunity. I want to tell you something, lost friend. The greatest opportunity that you're ever going to have is the opportunity that you have to know the God of glory. That's the greatest opportunity that is ever going to be afforded you. You're never going to have any opportunity that will surpass that. You can know the Lord. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. If you will come to Him, if you will repent of your sins, if you will trust Him with all your heart, He'll save you. He'll save you. Another great thing about God is He never breaks a promise. He never breaks a promise. God has promised in His Word that He will save everyone that will come to Him in that way. Well, one night I did, and guess what? I got saved. God will keep His promise. If you will turn to Him in repentance, if you'll trust Him with all your heart, God will save you. He won't save you until you do that, but He will save you if you will. So let's have a song. Let's stand and sing. There may be somebody here tonight that needs to be saved. And trust me, friend, that's the greatest need you're ever going to have. To come to know the great God of heaven. What a blessing. What a great blessing to know the Lord. What a great blessing to know that one day, for those of us that have experienced His grace, what a great blessing to know that one day we'll get to behold Him, we'll get to be in His presence. What a great, bright future the people of God have. What an awful future you have tonight if you're lost and without God. Let's stand and sing.